This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopian Media Medical News Network. We're about to talk to Evan Snyder, who's the program director of the Stem Cells and Regeneration Program at the Burnham Institute in La Jolla, California. Welcome to Utopian Media Medical News Network.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you tell us just very briefly what the Burnham Institute is?
The Burnham Institute is an institute which does biological and medical research. It's, I guess one could think of it as a research think tank.
Okay.
That specializes in fundamental developmental biology, but then also attempts to understand how these fundamental processes can be translated into therapies and for a wide range of diseases.
So it's both really pure science as well as applied science.
Yes, actually probably even purer than applied, though we always have an eye towards how the applications would fall out.
Okay, is it a public institution, a private institution? Is it got a big
it's a private nonprofit institution, but a pure academic institution.
Okay, and what do you do as director of the Stem Cells and Regeneration Program?
Well, what I do is I direct the day-to-day research that goes on in the program. We write grants, we do experiments, we write papers, we contribute scholarly work to the medical and biologic literature.
Okay, say a little bit about why stem cells have become so important lately from a medical point of view. What's so special about them, and why weren't they discovered sooner, or were they, and they were just dormant for the last 100 years?
Well, I think that that even though the stem cell field has been getting a lot of attention right now, within the last few years, it really is something that has been in one way or another familiar to biologists probably for the last 50 years.
Okay.
And let me tell you first what a stem cell is, and then I'll tell you why I think it's getting a lot of attention of late.
Right.
Best way to think of a stem cell is as the most primitive, primordial cell of the body or of a particular organ in the body.
Okay.
So I think that, one could think of it as, if you're looking at ice cream, think of it as the vanilla ice cream upon which everything else becomes embroidered.
Right.
Now, the world of stem cells falls into two major categories. One category are called embryonic stem cells.
Right.
And these are the cells that occupy the ball of cells that develops very shortly after an egg becomes fertilized.
Known to insiders as a blastocyst.
Exactly. It's called the blastocyst.
Right. And inside there are these embryonic stem cells.
Right. What happens is that shortly after fertilization, a few days, maybe 5 to 6 days, as the cells start dividing, some of the cells start migrating to and occupying kind of one pole of this otherwise hollow ball of cells.
Right.
That collection of cells ultimately will be where the embryo starts forming, or the body form starts forming.
And it will be formed out of those stem cells.
Well, that's what we believe.
Right.
Though I have to say that we don't know that for a fact. We believe that these are stem cells that then will go on and form the body.
Right.
Because one has to remember that the embryonic stem cells are then those cells that are yanked out from what we call this inner cell mass grown in a dish. So in some respects, an embryonic stem cell is really a tissue culture phenomenon.
Right.
However, we assume that these cells then will start giving rise to the body.
Because essentially there's nothing else there in the blastocyst other than those cells, right? And sooner or later there's an embryo, so they must have been made out of it.
Exactly how pluripotent or how much potential they have still is a bit of a debate.
Okay.
However, we do believe then that those cells start learning what their address is meant to be.
Right.
Are they meant to live in the nervous system, in the heart, in the muscle, in the blood, in the bones? And then these cells, still very, very plastic, we come to call somatic stem cells, or tissue-derived or tissue-resident. So these are the two major worlds of stem cells.
Somatic stem cells are ones that have differentiated themselves enough to become either nerve or muscle or blood or whatever.
Well, they, I'd say they become differentiated enough at least to know what part, what organ they're meant to be at, or at least which germ layer they're
right.
meant to be in.
Right.
And as I said, these are then called somatic stem cells. Now, they're mistakenly termed adult stem cells sometimes, but as you can
right.
see, you can have this irony of an adult stem cell that's still present in the embryo or the fetus.
Pre-infancy. Way
well, even pre-implantation,
right.
or certainly shortly pre-birth.
They're adult in the sense that they're more mature than the embryonic stem cells?
Well,
or why
I think,
being
I think
adult?
The use of the word adult is meaningless, so true stem cell biologists never use that term.
They use the term somatic stem cells.
Or use the term somatic stem cells that are taken from an adult or from a newborn or from a fetus or from an aged person.
Oh, okay.
And will also specify where they were obtained from. So,
In fact, somatic stem cells can exist in elderly people, fetuses, all around, whereas embryonic stem cells are only those. Are they precursors of the somatic
cells? Well, here's where a lot of the debate and a lot of the research really needs to address the issues.
Right.
So, in a simple-minded way, we believe that you have the embryonic stem cell.
Right.
Those cells learn what their address is meant to be, and they become somatic stem cells.
Right.
And then, as the body forms, some of these cells hang around throughout life.
Right.
And their job is meant to be to now maintain balance and homeostasis. Initially, they were there to put the organ together.
Right.
And as you know, many organs, particularly the nervous system, for example, has thousands of different cell types.
Right.
They're meant to put it together, and then some hang around as vestigial stem cells, even into old age. And throughout life, once they've put the organ together, now they're there for maintenance, for kind of tidying up and making sure that things stay in order, or a term we call homeostasis.
Are they in some sense there to fill in if the nerve cells or the blood cells or the liver cells sort of poop out? They're going to turn into liver, blood, or nerve cells themselves
and step in
the place of these?
Right, and that's what we believe is going on, and that's what we believe that they're there for. Now, the debate exists as to whether the stem cell that you pick out of an old person
right.
or of an adult is exactly the same cell that did exist in these early developmental stages.
And is it pluripotential?
Or at least multipotential.
Multipotential.
So, you know, even the adjectives that we use to describe the word potential have
right.
debate.
Right.
I think we've started coming to accept that the sequence of, and potency means just how plastic you are, how great is the fate that you could assume.
Right.
And I think we're starting to figure out, and I should say that this is not only still a debate, but this has only started becoming a kind of lexicon that we've used over the last few years. We tend to think of the sequence of defining greater and greater restriction in abilities as first pluripotent, that then moves into multipotent, that then moves into oligopotent, and then unipotent or bipotent, you know, tripotent, bipotent, unipotent, that kind of sequence.
And finally, of course, no joke here intended, impotent and using it, right?
Right. Now, occasionally you'll see people using the word totipotent instead of pluripotent
right.
or omnipotent.
Right.
Those, I guess, is somebody's attempt to become even more, you know, to say that you can also give rise to the supporting structures, not just the embryo.
Right.
But I get, you know, that really takes us off on a tangent. I think
right.
the other question that occupies a lot of debate is, logically, I told you the sequence, you know, from an embryonic stem cell to a somatic stem cell, and then it hangs on into adulthood. People are wondering, well, in what I just described, that should mean an embryonic stem cell disappears forever, or these pluripotent cells disappear forever once the body is formed.
Right.
People are trying to question whether there still are even these embryonic-like stem cells still floating around somewhere, even in the adult body. Can you find them somewhere in a bone marrow? Can you find them in a newborn in the umbilical cord?
Right.
That still remains to be debated. And I think most people believe that that is not the case, or that people have been recognizing now is still an artifact.
Well,
it's really not the way nature works.
Here's where the science hits the politics, right? Because if these blood if umbilical cord cells are every bit as good as the embryonic ones, we're going to discuss more about what good means here exactly, then you don't need embryonic cells. You can get everything possible from them that you could get from them from the blood and the umbilical cord, and there's no need to do it. That's what the argument is, right?
And that certainly would be one of the arguments.
Right.
Now, what science needs to figure out is not only what stem cells can and cannot do, but what a given disease needs or doesn't need.
Right.
And where the complexity is going to be is that for some diseases in some organs at some points, a somatic stem cell, still very plastic,
right,
may be better suited for that particular organ than an embryonic stem cell that in a dish you've taught to become a somatic stem cell.
Right.
On the other hand, sometimes the somatic stem cell just doesn't do what you need it to do. It's just become already too rigid, and you've
right.
got to really, really start from scratch
right.
and start with the embryonic stem cells. And then what complicates it is some of these diseases may actually need both of them administered
right.
as what we call co-grafts, simultaneously, mixtures of cells all talking to each other.
I have to say, speaking of talking to each other, this has gotten even more interesting than I thought it would be. Unfortunately, I got to go talk to the solar energy people now, and we've really only begun to scratch the surface here. So could I say we've got a good technical basis of what we're talking about, and maybe next week we can talk a little bit more and carry the discussion forward and see what how important this Prop 71 is and how it fits in with the science.
Could yes, we absolutely should do that.
Do that. Okay, good. So thanks very much for your time now, and I'll get back with you next week, and we can go forward.
Sure.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.